going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the trash of the day in about 20 minutes. Reminder, coming up later on in the show, Jay Binkley, our draft insider, going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour. But we do start with some draft speculation there. This could impact the draft. The latest from Diana Rossini this morning. She says that the Steelers, the Browns, and possibly the Vikings could be involved in a trade around Kirk Cousins. We all know by now Kirk Cousins is the backup quarterback in Atlanta after being benched in favor of Michael Penix. Kirk Cousins has a large contract still. That's why it's been difficult to move on from him. He, of course, has, I believe, a no-trade clause, too. I think he has the ability to kind of pick his destination. Cleveland at one point was interested already, but they balked at the contract. But now Diana Rossini, as we're a little over 24 hours away from the opening round of the NFL draft here in 2025, that the Browns are still looking into it. The Steelers are looking into it. And the Minnesota Vikings. We'll get to the Vikings in a second, because what the heck is that telling us? Let me start with the Browns. Cleveland was at one point weeks ago interested based on reporting, and they chose to just bring in Joe Flacco. And they traded for Kenny Pickett. Yep. So what, they're going to have Pickett, Flacco, and Kirk Cousins?
Maybe they want a real answer?
What's going on there? You're going to draft Travis Hunter maybe at two, and then you're going to bring in Kirk Cousins for 1 year. The Steelers makes a ton of sense, right? Are they confident Aaron Rodgers is going to come back and play? Is he retiring? Are they done with waiting? Kirk Cousins in Pittsburgh would be the best possible landing spot, I actually think, for Cousins, because he would have nobody, you know, that could potentially replace him in season if he doesn't perform well. Whereas the Vikings, we can get to McCarthy in a second, but let's say they even just gave him the starting job in week one. There's a chance if you don't perform, you could be replaced just like Michael Penix replaced you by J.J. McCarthy. So Pittsburgh, to me, is the best spot for Kirk Cousins. Now, out of all those teams, who needs Kirk Cousins the most? Also, Pittsburgh. So what do you make of this report from Diana Rossini, who's well-connected in the league?
I mean, the first two teams make all the sense in the world to me. Like, those teams just felt like teams that have picked up quarterbacks to make sure that they technically have a quarterback on the roster, Gold, not like feel confident about it or like their choices or anything outside of that, right? Just like he's a physical body that they have available to them. The end. The Vikings is the most telling one. I actually think Kirk Cousins probably should just go be a Steeler. Try to get yourself traded there. Then you kill the Aaron Rodgers thing. Aaron Rodgers is forced to retire because then he's got nowhere to be. I don't think you're losing the job. I don't think they'd also be like, yeah, Aaron, you know what? Come on by and let's see what happens. And let's take you in again as like a warm body. No, if they go and get Kirk Cousins, they're kind of done. And he knows he can be a starter there. And I'll be honest, I think he'd probably have success. There are weapons there. It's a good organization. Even Russell Wilson finds him way into postseasons there in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. So sure, that makes sense to me. The Browns, it's just like they're stuck in no man's land. I think the Browns really want a Cam Ward, and that they're going to end up trading back for Sanders or Jackson Dart or whoever they liked second best. And they wouldn't hate the idea of a saltier veteran than Joe Flacco in order to do it, or Kenny Pickett. And I kind of respect that. I probably wouldn't make the move if I was the Browns. I just draft one. The Vikings, I told you from the beginning, all they do is make moves that makes it seem like they don't like J.J. McCarthy. Everything they do indicates they're just like constantly looking for someone.
In fairness, they haven't made any other moves.
No. Like, I meant like the rumored moves.
Okay.
They're having meetings with Aaron Rodgers. They're entertaining trading for Kirk Cousins.
Gotcha.
All of it somehow is like circled in this like, we don't really trust J.J. McCarthy, but we don't want you to know it yet. We're not so untrusting of them that we're willing to make the moves, but there is some doubt, either health or play, with J.J. McCarthy. I'm not sure which one it is. But the Vikings have cast some doubt on their trust in him.
I think it's fair. Yeah, we don't know what it is. Yeah, either the recovery's going really poorly for McCarthy and in the knee, or they're watching more and more, and they're like, oh boy, he's just not ready. And this is a guy, though, that they spent a premium pick on a year ago. It's one of the two. I agree with you. If, in fact, Kirk Cousins gets brought in, because if Kirk Cousins gets brought in, he's starting week one for the Minnesota Vikings. But again, if I'm Kirk, while you're familiar with Kevin O'Connell, so you like that, you're familiar with that city, your family obviously spent a great deal of time there and everything. The spot there for Cousins would be a little weird, only because I could see the exact same thing happening to him again, as in he doesn't perform well. He might just not have it anymore. And it's J.J. McCarthy replacing him in week 10 of the season, just like Michael Penix did down in Atlanta. And that's why if I'm Kirk Cousins, I'm hoping Aaron Rodgers either doesn't decide or just announces he's retiring soon. And then the Steelers say, all right, Atlanta, what's he going to take?
We can't actually start Mason Rudolph, even though we're telling teams that.
Because I don't think Kirk Cousins is going to get benched for Mason Rudolph.
I think what's really important in the Kirk Cousins part of it, one, he's just like he's a pro's pro, right? I think everybody's established that, knows that about it. The Steelers should still be in the drafting a quarterback department, and I think they will be.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the general lack of readiness out of those guys, bringing in Kirk Cousins to be the starter for a full year while you kick it with Jackson. So you don't rush Kenny, you don't Kenny Pickett this thing. So you just let Jackson Dart or Jalen Milrow or whoever, right? Sanders, and let him sit behind Kirk Cousins and make sure that he's comfortable. That actually seems like a really smart, this is why I feel like he'll end up in Pittsburgh. The Steelers are a smart organization. You know what that seems like? A smart way to go about business. We take our quarterback, we feel trust in it, we think he needs development, we let Kirk Cousins do it for a year. Because if it's Mason Rudolph, they're going to be coming for his head. Like if it's Mason Rudolph and then Sanders is behind him, let's just say they tried to do that, he's not going to, pitchforks outside of Heinz Field or whatever the hell it's called now.
Yeah, Acquisher or something, yeah. I don't know.
That's, yeah, Acrisure. They should have stuck with it. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Hey, so whoever's
like
writing the check.
Or anything else.
Whoever's writing the check.
I got it.
It'll always be Heinz Field, which was also a sponsor, obviously. But yeah, this one seems, the fact that it's coming out now, this one I actually expect to happen. Like, I actually believe by this end of this week, Kirk Cousins could be moved. Do you guys think, or you think it's going to take a little bit longer?
I think it's way too awkward to leave him on the roster. So I think this week. I guess you could just like, if you're the Falcons, wait, and he showed up for voluntary workouts, even though he didn't have to do that. He showed up for voluntary workouts and was like, you know what? I'm here, like it or not, I guess. But this is the crazy part. Part of the reason I think he showed up is because he understands the leverage of like making you uncomfortable. Like,
correct.
Everyone's like, ooh, Kirk.
Yes.
Hey. You remember like this is the equivalent of like you're at a high school party and everybody didn't invite the one kid, but he found out anyway, and you're like, oh, glad you made it. And nobody actually wanted you at the party. I mean, that's the equivalent of what Kirk is doing to them. He is forcing them into an awkward situation.
No, it's
I
all
think
part of a plan.
To get traded.
It's
I think
all
he's
part
also
of a, plan.
A stand-up guy. You know, I think he's going to show up. It's just who he is.
You just think he shows up to work? I don't know, man.
I
would say
Kirk
that,
is.
Yeah, but I mean, he also just like, he took Wednesdays off or whatever the hell in the middle of the season. What was the day he took off? What was Kirk's day?
I think it was Wednesdays.
Remember,
Wednesdays.
We learned that in Netflix.
Yeah. I think it was Wednesdays.
And
like,
he
just took the whole day off. He just didn't show up to work. He just, like, took it off. It's kind of crazy.
And he's on that quarterback show again this year, so we'll see.
I did see that. I am fascinated because no matter where he ends up, he's kind of an interesting character at the end of last year because in that season, he's going to get benched. And as you remember, because they had Mahomes winning the Super Bowl, it went a little different. They just, like, stopped showing Mariota for the last, like, four episodes of that show because I think maybe everyone was uncomfortable or I don't know.
Well, he left town.
Yeah,
didn't
he left town.
Did he go back to Hawaii or something?
Yeah, he did.
He like just got the heck out. He's like, I'm done. I doubt Kirk Cousins did that. Kirk Cousins, again, was on the sideline holding the clipboard or whatever. And seemed like he was being a good teammate to Michael Penix in that moment. But obviously he wants to start again. He doesn't want to sit there, and I don't think he'll end up being the backup in Atlanta by the time we get to week one either. But that's the latest from Diana Rossini. Someone on the text line was wondering, do we think that Shedeur Sanders, let's say Kirk goes to one of these spots and also Sanders is drafted, do we think Sanders will sit behind anybody in week one of the season? Yeah, I mean, how many rookie quarterbacks can dictate maybe to a certain extent where they get drafted, not Sanders, I don't believe, but
agreed.
Plenty of rookies don't start week one, and they know, like Drake May did not start.
50-50? Jacoby Is that about
Brissett.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Jacoby Brissett started week one. Yes, I think Sanders would be willing to be the backup for the beginning of the season. Plenty of rookie quarterbacks don't start week one, and then they get their opportunity week eight. Look at Michael Penix. When he got drafted, they had Kirk Cousins. He knew he wasn't going to. In fact, there was a chance he wasn't going to play all year. It just happened that Kirk Cousins was so bad that Penix got an opportunity. So, yeah, this is what I meant yesterday. We were discussing people's feeling about Shedeur Sanders. Like, look, if you just think athletically and everything, he's just not a good quarterback, fine. But this is more about how people think he, like, operates, arrogance, whatever. No, I do not think Shedeur Sanders is going to demand that you start me week one of the season or else. No, I don't believe that'll happen. No rookie quarterback is really in that position to do that. Now, if you're the number one overall pick, spoiler, Cam Ward will be starting week one for the Tennessee Titans. They can play it up like there's a camp competition. Cam Ward will start week one. But if you're pick 17 or pick 21, yeah, there's a chance you're not starting week one.
No, and I don't think that that's a bad way to go about it. All I'm saying is that if you, as you know, the worst a quarterback you have, like Jacoby Brissett, when you go with Jacoby Brissett, come on, I mean, you know, we all know that they're going to be coming for and asking for Drake May a whole lot faster, Gold, right? Like it versus when you got Alex Smith, not saying nobody ever asked for Patrick Mahomes. There's a lot more patience and time. So, like, when you get Kirk Cousins in there in Pittsburgh, people aren't just being Sanders, unless Kirk Cousins is awful.
I would
but if
be
he's
surprised.
Playing okay football, you can survive a little bit.
I'd be surprised if they traded for Kirk Cousins and drafted Sanders, though. I think they're
but like Milroe,
a third round pick, whatever. Second round pick is different. I would be surprised if you're Kirk Cousins, you were caught off guard when you signed with Atlanta and then they drafted Penix. Remember, like, the reports were he was very upset. He felt that they lied to him. He felt Atlanta lied to him. I doubt he's going to agree because, I think he has a no-trade clause. I could be wrong. I doubt he's going to agree to a trade to Pittsburgh if he knows there's a chance that they already drafted the guy they're planning on starting more games than he is. Like, why would he put himself in the exact same spot again?
The only thing I would say is that Kirk Cousins has to know at this point that no starting job is guaranteed for him anymore. Like, he doesn't have a guaranteed starter spot in the NFL. So if you can get 1 year as a starter, you take it.
But if there's
because
a spot
that could
where,
be the last starting job you get. You don't know.
Right. But if there's a spot where there's not a first-round quarterback taken.
If I'm given the choice. Sure.
If there's not a first-round quarterback from this year taken, the chances of you getting replaced are less, you would think.
Yeah. Or it'd take an extra year. Like, they draft behind you the following year, but maybe you'd get 2 years as a starter. How many more years do we have?
That's the thing.
Do we think Kirk Cousins has as a starter? Isn't he in his mid-30s?
Fair point. He turns 37 in August.
This is, again, the appeal of the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers have actually built their team to win now. T.J. Watt, Pickens, Metcalf, an offensive line. Like, they've actually built themselves to try to win immediately, like this second. Like, so if the Browns, the defense is probably built to win today. But, like, and, like, I don't know, maybe if they had a qualified starting quarterback, maybe I'd feel that way about their offense. But it's hard to feel that way about the Browns because they've just been such a joke of a franchise for so long. So, admittedly, that's kind of that's kind of throwing it off, at least a little bit. Back to the Royals for just a little bit. Then we'll get to the Chiefs right after hour. Patrick Mahomes is scheduled, actually, to talk to the media. Coming up at around 11:40, we will carry that live right here on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, hopefully talking about the draft on Thursday night, where you can come meet us at the Landing in Liberty for round one. Your chance to win $965, an autographed Chiefs helmet. Just come out, make your picks, select who you think is going in the draft. But I want to talk baseball for just a minute. Because I got asked this question, and I think odds can tell us part of the answers to these things as well, Gold, which makes it kind of fun. Right now, if I asked you, yes or no, I gave you $1,000, it's even money, you have to choose, do the Royals make the playoffs? Yes or no? Like, right now, what's your...
Even money?
Because before the season, I think your answer's yes.
Yeah.
Before the season, my answer's yes. So I'm asking right now, even money... I know the odds actually say it's plus 220.
Yeah, that's the problem. You're giving me crappy odds, man. You're giving me
just
crappy
odds.
Just
take the odds out of it. It's just a yes or no question, right? Every book in the world today is only going to give you even money for the rest of your life. You got to decide right now, today. Are they a playoff team, yes or no?
Top 10 pitching staff in baseball. I'm not convinced that they are going to be the worst offense in baseball, so my answer is yes.
I think my answer is yes, too. And I think that that's really what it comes... And that's... I wanted to ask this for the same reasons, and this is why... And give me your reasoning why over in the text line, 913-586-7965. I'm with you. I think the biggest reason why, Gold, I would have a hard time changing from my initial prediction going into the season, what we had going is, I thought they were a playoff team. I thought they were a playoff team because of their starting pitching. They are still pitching. And I refuse, for the same reason I did 3 days ago, to believe that Salvador Perez and Vinny Pasquantino were hitting 190 for the entire year.
Yeah, if you're asking me, are they, because I think you're not asking, are they playing like one? No, of course not.
No, I'm asking, will they be, when 162 games are done, will the Kansas City Royals be in the playoffs?
Yeah, because I'm sure people are thinking, how can you say that they're not playing like one? Of course not. They're not playing like a playoff team. You're either banking that they can't figure it out or that they can, and which one has more of a track record with this group of working out? Have we seen them have good pitching with an offense that was capable? Have we always seen them be the worst offense in baseball or not? Have we seen them have a good bullpen or not? What do you think is real? What do you think is fake? Do you think some players are just going to have the worst years of their career and three of them are all going to have, like, you think Jonathan India, Vinny Pasquantino, is going, or they're both going to have the worst years of their Major League Baseball career? That might be
what
you're banking
on. If you think that, then they're not a playoff team.
Obviously. Yeah.
I got to be honest. If that's your actual
belief. They're not playing like one, but just because they're not playing like one on April 23rd doesn't mean you can just say definitively they're not in the playoffs.
You and I have covered a lot of athletes in Kansas City. Can I say that Vinny Pasquantino might be the most honest player I've ever covered? This was him in the clubhouse yesterday. I think it was Harold Kuntz or Rob Collins. It was one of our friends over at Fox 4 who had gotten this audio asking Vinny about the way he was playing, and this is what he said.
I've sucked. There's no hiding from that. Not happy with my performance at all, but come to work every day with a good mindset, ready to do something positive for the team. So I'm not going to change that mindset.
I suck. Not going to say anything else about
it. I mean, he's exactly right. It's refreshing to hear from an athlete for sure. Most of the time you don't get that.
No, I love it. I really do love it because it's a very telling thing about a guy who is telling you an honest opinion about his own play. And again, that's just kind of what it boils down to. A lot of it is if your answer is, and I understand the flawed logic of they'll just hit better, but they won't pitch worse. Like, I understand that, like, that's how, if I say, hey, they're pitching like this, imagine if they hit, people are going to be like, but imagine if they don't pitch like
this.
The pitching is already leveled out a little from the, like, they were the best ERA in baseball level they possessed for the first 10 games. So it's already leveled out a little, and they're still winning baseball games. I don't know, man. I just don't think the offense is going to be this bad. They score four runs and they're an immediate winner, right? Four runs is officially the magic number for the Royals to win a baseball game. Salvi's hitting 185. Vinny's hitting 186. Let's see. Who else is a regular starter? Kyle Isbell's hitting 217. Maybe that's more long-term than the other. India's hitting 195 with a 298 on base. Their career numbers are all 60 points better than the numbers I'm reading you right now. So even if they're just having a career down year, Gold, and these numbers jump up by 25 points, how much better of an offense are they? That's really what it comes down to. That's why, like, if you made me ask today and it was just Gold, somebody, like some random listener gave us $1,000 and he's like, hey, you got to bet it one way or the other, they're making the playoffs or they're not, but you don't get the odds on it. It's just -110 either way, +100 either way. I'd bet them to make the playoffs. I would. I understand, like, from a,
you're giving me crappy odds, man.
I understand. Like, technically, we could bet $1,000 on that today, Golden. We'd get 220, plus 220. So if you do think they're making the playoffs, congratulations. We don't live in a hypothetical world in which you just have to take the same odds. You can just bet the Royals to do it.
All right, let's get to it, Drew.
Trash of the day.
I don't know what science experiment, maybe you did for the science fair in sixth grade. I'm not sure if you remember. Did you ever think about doing this one? There's an article. This is from Upworthy.com. A sixth grader decided to answer a question that I guess people have had. I don't own a cat, so I don't know. I'm a dog person.
Have you ever owned a cat?
No.
Did your family own a cat when you were a kid?
Always dogs. Okay. Always dogs. I have a dog now. I don't think I'll ever have a cat in my life. So the headline on the poster board for the science fair project was, does your cat's butt really touch all the surfaces in your home?
Okay. Sure.
Is this a question people have had?
I mean, I guess just like, you know, like the old, like when you'd hear like, I mean, cats do put their, like they sit on everything in your house. So that question, it doesn't seem like an absolutely ludicrous question to ask yourself. I'll say.
So basically, this sixth grader did a study. They put non-toxic lipstick around the butts, more specifically, of the...
Wait, they put lipstick on a cat's ass?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
That's one way to go about it.
To see if it actually...
non-toxic being important.
It touches all the surfaces in your home. They did this. They had multiple cats. They were then given a series of commands. Sit, wait, lie down, jump up. Both cats have been trained already to do that. They were compensated with lots of praise, pets, and their favorite treats. The lipstick was removed with a baby wipe once they collected their data in under 10 minutes. The results? Turns out that no, cats' ass do not touch every surface sit on.
Does that make you want to get a cat more?
Phew. No, I'm allergic to cats. Absolutely not. I've told you, when I show up today after work, the dog's going to be excited to see me. The cat may look at me and run away 5 seconds
later.
Cats
can be excited to see you.
So,
I think you're giving cats a bad rap.
Team dog.
I'm just team animal. Yeah. Pro animal across the board.
Definitely dog.
I mean, if you're allergic to cats, I can understand why you're not. But, like, I don't know why you got to dismiss their personality. They just got a different personality than a dog.
A lot of them, man. A lot of them don't have any.
Have you been around that many cats?
Yeah, my aunt has, like, three of them.
Okay.
You go over there, they'd all just go hide behind the couch the whole time. Never saw them.
But that's never for you, them. Not their owner.
Well, that's you're I, not their I, owner. That's my interaction, you know?
You like a dog that, like my dog jumps on people. Sometimes that's overbearing.
I walk in, dog's tail is wagging. Looks like she hadn't seen me. You would think she hadn't seen me in weeks. She doesn't know any better.
This is not the science experiment I went with. Mine was related to like cleaning products. Is it related to like, I don't know, pennies or something? Maybe it was my brother's. I don't remember the exact question I do have about the science fair. Do they still show kids October Sky at school?
Oh, what a classic.
Is that?
What a classic.
Are they still, Drew, you're a little younger than us. Are they still showing kids October Sky as a part of school curriculum?
That doesn't ring a bell, but that doesn't mean I haven't seen it.
Oh, you?
I guess.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Came out in 1999, but I've saw it, I can't tell you how many times throughout school.
It doesn't ring a bell.
Multiple times throughout school. Doesn't ring a single bell?
His dad works in the mine, you know? He wants to build a rocket.
But then he's got to drop out of school to help his family in the mine because of an accident.
And what?
But then he still works on his rockets.
I don't think so.
Homer.
Homer's his name.
Yeah. Homer.
All of his friends get... It's based on a true story. Yeah. I'm sure very few of it is how it actually went, but, you know.
Dr. Von Braun, you know, that's his hero.
Dr. Von Braun. They go through the trial... Teaching you about perseverance and trial and error.
And his teacher gets sick, right? Teacher gets cancer or something.
Yeah. His inspiration teacher gets cancer. I don't remember why I had to go work in his mind. His dad dies or gets hurt?
His dad got hurt and like was unable to work again, and so he had to go work in the mine. And his dad's an a-hole.
Yeah, his dad kind of sucks.
But then
his dad is probably like classic 1950s, 60s abusive.
Yeah. Like, but then his dad is like, you know, we've got some unused concrete. I'm sure it doesn't work. I'm sure it's spoiled by now, but you can go try it for your landing pad.
He helped him. He finally caved and let him help for the landing pad. He briefly gets kicked out of school because... Remember, he gets in trouble at school because they think his rocket starts a fire. Dude, I watched that movie so many times in school. So many times. Lance is saying his school never showed it.
I don't think I've seen
this. This would have been one of the things I thought was a universal experience.
Yeah.
Like, I would have just assumed we all did this. But maybe not. Maybe it was just your school gold and mine.
Was it on like the cassette
multiple
tape?
Classes,
is that how they played it?
Was I mean, it came out in 99, so there were VHS.
VHS. So, yes.
Yes, it was on a VHS.
Not a cassette tape, a VHS.
A VHS.
Streaming. Maybe we should watch. You know, when was the last time you watched?
Rolled the TV in on the cart and everything?
Of course.
For
ES?
Oh, yeah.
Well, by the time high school hit around, I think it got shown like Biology 2, completely unrelated. We had projectors, and we had like the corner TVs, you know? You're like squinting up there, being like, is this what we got? It wasn't like a 60-inch, you know?
Someone texts in, sixth grade science fair winner here. Miracle Grow testing, none versus recommended versus double dose. You won for that? Nice.
What?
Did you have a science fair? Did you have to go get the...
We had science fair, but I did not participate.
Yeah.
We had to.
We didn't have to.
We didn't have to.
What?
Yeah, we didn't have to.
Yours were voluntary?
We didn't have to, yeah.
Oh, we had to.
My older sister.
We had to turn
my older sister, hers was like at Bartle Hall or something. Like, it went to like, they had like a district thing and a statewide one or something. That mine did not.
Either. Yeah, there was like the next level of science fairs you could get to.
I think, right?
Yes, there was. In our state, there was. Yeah. You did the school one, which was mandatory at our school. And then, yeah, you could jump up, to I think it was regionals, then nationals, I think was the idea.
Someone's questioning your history of watching that movie, Cody.
What do you mean? What part?
The movie came out in 99. No way you've watched it that many times in school.
I was born in... Okay. I hate to break it to you. I am 40 years old. If it came out in... I'm just telling you, like, maybe it wasn't middle school. I don't remember the exact... I'm telling
26
you...
26 years ago it came out.
I have seen...
You were 14. That,
I have seen that movie in school more than once.
For sure.
More than one time. It probably wasn't sixth grade for me, but they definitely showed that movie.
All right, up next, let's get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We're expected to hear from Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm a fan.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour, and we are awaiting Patrick Mahomes. Expected to hear from him in about 6 minutes or so. Be curious to see what questions he gets asked. I'm guessing a lot about Camp Padigan in Texas, who's been down there working with him. Someone might even ask him about his haircut. Who knows? That'll be some of the stuff, I'm guessing. And if there's, we joke because once they make a draft pick on offense, afterwards, Brett Veach of the Chiefs will say, you know, we asked, you know, Pat wanted you. Pat really liked you. So we'll find out.
Clyde one was the one because before we knew, I did see the Chiefs were, they had a virtual visit with your guy, Travion Henderson.
They did.
I'm a Quinshon Judkins guy. I'm not anti-Travion.
I'm more Dylan Sampson. Remember?
Oh, that's right. It was Drew's guy who was Travion. Yeah. I apologize.
Yeah, a little more Dylan Sampson for me, but Travion Henderson could be
the most fun result is that they all take one guy we've mentioned on this show.
At some point, is
our potential draft crushes. Just bring them all in, you know?
Yeah. Bink's going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour. They put out their final mock draft, the character concerns crew did, Kristen Osero, Jay Binkley. So we'll have Bink in studio in the 1 o'clock hour to talk more about that as we are just outside of 24 hours or so from the NFL draft, which is going to take place in Green Bay tomorrow night. We hope to see all of you at the landing. Now, before we get to Patrick Mahomes, once again, this is what Adam Schefter said the Chiefs could do at 31.
They're still trying to shore up the tackle position despite all that they've invested in it in recent years. A player like Josh Simmons from Ohio State would make a lot of sense to me going to Kansas City at the back end of round one.
Then this morning, Ian Rappaport sent out a tweet and said, quote, one of the draft's biggest curiosities is tackle Josh Simmons, a sure first-round talent coming off a patellar tendon rupture in October. While options vary, teams were impressed with where he was at the combine during the rechecks. He squatted 225 in April. He's already doing sled work. It's all positive, no setbacks. That's from Ian Rappaport. Also says Simmons could very well be cleared before training camp, an indication he's still considered a first rounder. If that actually is what teams believe and not just agent talk, how the hell is he going to be there at 31? If teams can, the consensus is, one other team agrees that he's available by camp, how is he falling to 31?
Here's the biggest issue you're going to have is something you and I have discussed, Gold, which is it's hard to get a starting left tackle at 31. It's also hard to get a starting left tackle at 22, 27, 28, whatever else thing that you are considering or thinking about if you're a team right now also applies to them. So like if you're having difficulty getting a player at that range, if you're comfortable with the medicals, help me understand how he doesn't end up going at that spot higher. Like if you're just like, he'll be fine. That's why I told you. And look, I know you disagree on like just how high, but this is why I told you, I think he's going to end up going like in the late teens, early 20s. Like I think he's going to end up going between 19 and 21. And if he doesn't go there, then no one's comfortable with his medicals. If he goes to the Chiefs at 31, or if he goes, I saw some people being like, if he goes 44, then what you're talking about
is the stuff that Rapport just put out is his agent trying to squash some of the concerns.
Yeah, he's trying to be
whatever.
He's fine. He's fine because I understand why you'd be worried about an offensive lineman with a torn patellar tendon. And you have to be a team that is willing to sit on him. The one good news about the Chiefs is they are one of the few teams who I think would be willing to take a first round pick who they'd be willing to sit on right away because technically they do have a starting left tackle and have a starting right tackle today. It's not that they don't want improvement, Gold, or they don't want a long-term answer, but if they had to roll out in a game in September, they don't have to have Joshua Simmons play today. A lot of times, if you're taking tackle in the first round, man, you need his ass. Taking a guard in the first round, you need him to play for you now. First-round picks in the offensive line start immediately for every team,
right,
almost across the board, at tackle or guard or something.
That's why I wonder, because everybody's talking about Josh Simmons, if Kelvin Banks, for whatever reason, is like at 18 or 19.
A couple of new mocks today. I know we're going to look at one.
Is he going to fall?
There's a couple mocks, and I know Drew probably has a new one for us here in a bit, but one of the mocks in the last 24 hours had Banks going inside the top 17, top 18. So
I mean, if he's there at 19 or 20, do they just say, screw it, we're giving up 31 or we're giving up whatever else we
need
think
to the Chiefs
get Kelvin
can get
Banks?
I don't think the Chiefs can get to 19.
Because Banks is the guy. Like, with all the questions around, Simmons, Banks is the other one.
This is Nembo. Real downside of being good, you know? Because, again, the same argument is, like, really where you want to be in the sweet spot if you're the Chiefs one of these years is, like, you're picking 22nd so you can trade up to 13 to get a tackle, you know?
So, like, Drew, you mentioned 19. So, the way the draft chart works, each slot has a, for our listeners, I know you know, but for our listeners, points are assigned per pick. Now, there's different charts, but each team knows what each team is using. So, for example, pick number one is 3,000 points. You would have to come up with that to get to number
one.
Which
pretty much just like every pick in the entire draft
so
you have this year.
At 19, it's owned by the Bucks. It's worth 875 points according to Draft Tech, which is one of the charts. The Chiefs pick is 600, right? So they have to come up with 275 points. Well, then you look further on in the, later in the draft. Okay, pick 63 they have is worth 276. They could just trade their second round pick. And that might be enough to get it done. Or their 66th overall pick is worth 260.
And what's next year's second worth? Yeah, probably 100.
Pick 95
right?
is worth 120. So you see, this is what it would take. Yes, could the Chiefs do it? Are they willing to trade their first and a second round pick to get to 19? I don't think they're going to be willing to do that. Nor, by the way, I don't think they should.
Kind of depends on how desperate they are based on how things have gone.
To get to 24, Cody, or 23 to go get Simmons at with the rumored Vikings pick, that's 740. All right. So you trade your first round pick this year, that's worth 600. Then you only have to come up with a $140. All right. Pick 95 is 120. You're almost there. You trade your later third round pick and then a later pick in this year's draft, and that's how you could get to 24. It's a little more realistic than having to give up your second round pick.
And you can look at what future picks hold less value for those who haven't seen these draft trade charts before. So like they're a little bit harder in order to get to go through the effort, I guess is what it is, or to figure out the way to get the picks kind of to work out. But I don't think it's crazy to think the Chiefs would trade up. Part of me thinks that all this Joshua Simmons smoke with them in particular is because they like somebody else. Like they like Banks or they like Josh Connerly or they like some other guy that isn't him in order to kind of make it work.
All right, let's get to the latest mock. That's what the mock draft sounder means. We only have another day of these while we're waiting for Patrick Mahomes to speak. Where are we going?
All right, so we're going to make this one quick. We're going to look at Peter Schrager. He came out with his mock today. One round, one pick for the Kansas City Chiefs. No trades or anything like that. At 31, James Pierce Jr. Out of Tennessee. So they do not care about the character concerns.
You're going to
take him at 31.
That was when we did our initial draft crush convo. James Pierce Jr., I would be very happy. I think he'll be there if they want him, honestly.
Who are your other? You guys
sounds like
you mentioned defensive line. Your guy was Nolan
for whatever. A couple volunteers, I guess. James Pierce, Dylan Sampson. Walter Nolan's another name.
He's been hearing from Mac too much, about the Tennessee stuff.
Maybe
I guess
so.
Mac is giving an influence.
But no, Dylan Sampson, James Pierce Jr. Your guy Harbin, I saw there's some shoulder concerns on him, but this is
great. Down to 66. Honestly, can't believe it. Wouldn't
there's
trust
no
him.
No way he falls to 66. There's no chance.
I will say there's a player every year that we say that about. I'm not saying it's him, Drew, but there's always a player that we say that about, and then they do go that late. So, like, again, I'm not saying it's definitively him, but there'll be one guy who is like Ursary will go 21 or Harmon will go 66. Like, there'll be a player that goes way higher than you think and way higher.
If we narrow it down to three names, I would love at some point for the Chiefs to draft. It's James Pierce Jr., Dylan Sampson, Alfred Collins out of Texas. Those are the three. I like the orange color scheme, I guess. One's burnt, but the other two are volunteers. So Alfred Collins, James Pierce Jr., Dylan Sampson.
Collins is growing on me. I mean,
they've been mocked to get Clemson linebacker Barrett Carter, too. Another orange.
Perfect.
I mean,
it's an A-plus
body
type.
I don't know if I want a linebacker, though. Yeah, A-plus body type. What was the other? A-plus body type, great length or whatever it was. I think.
Premium length.
So Schrager only had the one round. He didn't dig in for all seven.
He said one round's all people care about deep down.
Did Burden go in the first round? I want to know about a couple of other players in Schrager's because those are always interesting.
How did Schrager have the quarterbacks land?
He does not have Luther Burden going. He has Cam Ward 1. He has Shador going 21.
Okay.
Jackson Dart to the Giants at 26. So he does actually have a trade in this.
Ooh, okay.
So he's got three.
The Rams, isn't that the Rams pick at 26?
Yes.
Everyone thinks they're trading down. So they'll probably trade up. Like anytime it's like,
and that's it.
I don't know. Maybe, maybe we've just done more draft talk this year. I don't know. Does anyone feel like there is even more than normal, a little too much consensus that we must all be like way off base? Like a lot of the, like everyone thinks they're trading down, but we can get to that a little bit later.
All right, let's go out to Arrowhead and hear from Chiefs quarterback, Patrick Mahomes.
I can relate. We'll start with Adam Teicher. Go ahead, Adam.
Hey, Patrick, I know you guys, it's early and you guys are just getting started right now, but are there things you see, things that tell you that maybe the passing game this year is going to be what you maybe hoped it would be last year? And how confident are you that you can get to that point? And Sid, I'll have one quick follow-up as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously everything looks great right now. I mean, getting the guys back healthy as far as Rasheed and having Hollywood fully healthy and Xavier in year two, I think the offense has a chance to be really, really good. It's just about keeping building. I'm excited to kind of have these guys again, just with we've had a lot of turnover in the receiving room, and it seems like the core group will be back in its entirety. So the goal is to try to build on it and get even better and try to get back to some of the explosive passing plays that we've done in years past.
Yeah, you mentioned Rasheed. How's he looking? And what are your expectations for him, given how he was playing at the time of the injury, but now he's coming off the injury?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's the expectations are high. I mean, he looks really good. He's running routes. He's catching the football. I don't know when we get back into the actual OTAs, how much he'll be able to do, but he's been able to do everything here as far as running routes and everything like that. And I know it was unfortunate that how he got hurt last year, but it was so early in the season that he's going to get pretty much a complete off season, which I think will be big going into this season.
Next, we'll go to Sam McDowell.
Hey, Patrick, and Sid, I'll have a quick follow-up, but just when you look back at last year, obviously you guys in the offseason had put a big emphasis on the explosive and downfield passing game. When you look back at it now, how do you just diagnose that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like we got to the goal that we wanted to. I think the injuries definitely affected it a little bit, but my goal is to be better and trying to give guys chances down the field. And I mean, if you look at the only real positive, I think, from the Super Bowl, it was the second half of me just kind of getting back to, we got to throw the ball deep. We have to push the envelope. And you saw Xavier making some big plays down the field. And so trying to take the positives away from that and from the rest of the season as well is we got the guys. It's about me trusting them, making the throws downfield and letting them make plays.
And then just how do you map out this time with the guys? I mean, I assume you've got some sort of blueprint that you go by. Does it change year to year? Can you kind of just give us a sense of what that's like?
Yeah, it changes a little bit. I mean, I think we start off with some therapy in the morning, some stuff to get the guys' bodies right, get a nice workout in, and then get to the field. And even though we're not in person, we're still doing virtual meetings. So you know what the coaches are talking about, and it's about taking those routes to the field, explaining it to them the way I see it and the way the coaches see it. And so that when we get back in the building here in a couple weeks, guys have a jump start of what we expect and how we're going to go about our business. And like I said, it helps that this year it's a lot of the same receivers that I've worked with previously. And so not a ton of teaching. A lot of guys know what they need to do. It's just refining their skills.
Let's go next to Vahe.
Hey, Patrick, I wonder if there's any difference in mentality for you coming off a Super Bowl win versus coming off a Super Bowl loss in terms of how you enter the grind of the offseason, if it's a different sort of motivation. And Sid, if I could have a follow-up too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty motivated anyways, but I think when you get some of those tiring sets or tiring reps that you're in the workout, you have something in the back of your mind that you're kind of pushing towards, and you have that bad taste in your mouth from the last time you stepped on the football field, and you kind of have to hear about it all off season. So it gives you the push that you want to go out there and be better and show what we're really about.
And when you referred a moment ago to, you know, needing to be better, I was wondering what you feel like your own points of emphasis are this off season, and what it is you examine last season that you really want to try to enhance.
Yeah, I mean, there was opportunities in games for deep shots that I either didn't take or we missed barely. And I think if we can get back to hitting some of those throws, I mean, we preached about this last offseason. It opens up the rest of the offense. And so that helps the run game. That helps the medium pass game, everything in it. So you want to get back to that. Defenses are starting to creep up a little bit more and forcing us to get back to the deep throws. And so we have to be versatile enough to be able to do both, hit the deep shots and hit the underneath stuff. And that's when we'll be at our best.
Thanks.
We'll go next to Matt Derrick.
Hey, Patrick, and two questions if you have time. Curious if Gardner Minshew is down there with you, how well you know him, and What kind of perspective and different voice do you see him bring maybe to the quarterback room than you've had in the past?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, I've obviously just kind of met him through passing. He's been down here working with us, and I feel like we're going to have a really good quarterback room just in general. And I think having Gardner, a guy that loves the game, comes in with the right mentality every single day. It's and a guy that pushes the envelope, kind of like what we've been talking about. And so I think having someone that's going to push me to take chances down the field, it'll be big to continue to work and build our chemistry on the field, but also push each other on it as well.
At the Combine, Brett Veach said that he and Matt Nagy talk about the fact that maybe you know too much at this point, that maybe you see things that defenses don't even do now because you're that far advanced. But said it, you know, so much of it just comes back to settling your feet and trusting the protection. Does that resonate with you? Is that something that you feel like that you agree with and you see too?
Yeah, in a sense. I mean, I think just this last year, especially, I don't like sometimes you give guys too much credit and knowing what the coverage is and how it's supposed to be played and you know what your reads are. But at the same time, you still have to go through your progression, and that's something that I have to continue to do. So even if it's a too high coverage or whatever it is, there's still chances for me to throw the ball down the field. I have to go through the progressions the right way and trust in the play call and trust in the protection. And that's something that I'll try to get back to this year and stuff that I have to continue to get better at.
We'll go next to Todd Lebo.
Patrick, a couple of things. First off, looking back at the tape and everything you went through last year on the line, at left tackle, you guys had some struggles here and there. What was that like going through all that? And what do you like about the moves that have happened so far for you guys to kind of shore that up? And I'll have one little quick one after this.
Yeah, I mean, it's the guys that were battling, that are trying to find their spot in the NFL to compete and be great. And I thought guys did good jobs. Obviously, the Super Bowl left a bad taste in everybody's mouth, but I thought throughout the season, guys stepped up and made big plays happen and protected when they needed to be to protect. And I think this year, just trying to solidify the group, bringing in a guy like Jalen Moore and a guy that's played some snaps, learned under Trent Williams, someone that we have big expectations for. It's just you get a core group of guys that you want to solidify, and you never can account for injuries and stuff like that, but hopefully a group that will be kind of together throughout the entire year. Because when you look at the great offensive lines, a lot of times it's a unit. It's everybody. It's not just one guy here and there. And so we're excited for it, and there'll be healthy competition in camp. But we'll find the five right guys that we'll go with, and we'll have guys behind them ready to go as well.
And then you talked before about getting a new look with the hair. You finally pulled the trigger and cut the hair. What went into that decision? What's the reaction been from folks for you?
Yeah, I mean, I've wanted to do it for a while, but it was kind of one of those superstitions. I kept winning the Super Bowl, which is a good thing, but I didn't want to cut the hair while I was doing it. And so I told everybody during the season that win or lose, if we win three in a row or if we lose, I'm getting the haircut. Like, that's enough. And I'm very excited. Like, I've looked at some videos from last year, and I can't believe all you guys let me keep that nappy hair for so long. Like, I look way better now with the short hair, so I'll be keeping this going forward.
We'll go next to McKenzie.
I was wondering if you could share what your draft experience was like, as we're just a day away now, and I'll have a quick follow-up too.
Yeah, no, I got to spend it back at home, and we were talking about it actually today. We were throwing with some of the guys, and I was very excited to be able to spend it back at home with the people I grew up with and the people that believed in me, and being able to get drafted by the Chiefs and the team I wanted to draft me and draft me in the 10th overall. It was super exciting, and you're so nervous all day long. I remember I played a round of golf in the morning. I don't remember one shot from that golf round. You're just trying to keep your mind off of it. But then you live out your dream and you find out where you're going to go. And I got to do it with the people that were special to me, and not a moment that I'll have and they'll have for the rest of their lives.
And then just one last thing. How much feedback do you give on maybe some of these draft prospects?
Yeah, I talked to Brett Veach a ton about just the guys that he's looking at and the thought process of the draft. But I let those guys make the decisions. I mean, Coach Reed's done it for a long time. Veach has done it for a long time. They've gotten a lot of great players around me. And if they want me to give my input on guys, I'll watch film and give input. But at the end of the day, they know what's best for the team, and they're going to go out there and pick the guys they think are going to make us or keep us Super Bowl contenders.
We've got two left. Go back to Sam McDowell.
Patrick, you mentioned Hollywood Brown. What was just the disappointment of not having him for the full year after the training camp he had, and what's the excitement to have him back?
Yeah, no, I mean, y'all saw it in training camp, how special of a football player he is, and did everything the right way, was in the building early, was in the building late, was teaching other guys, and for him to get injured and kind of a freak deal there, the first play of the preseason, it stung, but I was happy to have him back at the end of the season and him to kind of get back in within the offense. I think now with hopefully him having the full offseason and training camp and keep staying healthy and continuing to grind through, his role will expand even more. I mean, it's hard to throw guys in at the end of the season and try to give him a huge role. And I think you can see when he gets the football in his hands and he has a huge role in our offense, it makes everybody go. And so excited for him. Also that receiving room just in general, all really good friends and all want each other to have success. And I think he can be one of the better receiver rooms in this league with the guys that we have in it.
Last one. Go ahead, Vahe.
Patrick, I wonder how you balanced after the season sort of decompressing and recovering versus getting right back on it, and how fast you sort of got back into getting ready for another season.
Yeah, I mean, I got back into it pretty quickly. I mean, when you end in the Super Bowl, you don't have a lot of time to get away, but you, I just had a baby, so I got to spend time with the baby a little bit more and spend time with my kids. And then kind of just started getting workouts back in. And I have a good way of kind of working out first and throwing on my own first. And by the time the guys get here, I feel like I'm in a good spot. And so got away for a little bit, but we're back at it now. And glad a lot of these guys have came down to Texas. I mean, we've had pretty much everybody down here at least one day or a couple. And so we've gotten some good work in. We'll finish that up these next week or two, and then we'll get to Kansas City. And I'm excited to get back and get back into the swing of things.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right, so that was Patrick Mahomes talking about how the offseason really down in Texas has been going with some of the wide receivers that he's been working with. We'll react to just one or two comments that he made there. Coming up on the other side, we'll get to what's trending. We'll also get right back in the Royals, who had just one of the wilder games of the young 2025.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health.
At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Season.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drive deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.